I think that liberalism is absolutely wrong, not because of liberalism, but because of modernity. Because modernity, was liberal from the beginning. It was not so clear from the beginning that individualism will win finally over socialism or nationalism, but now it is clear. And that was individualistic roots of the Western modernity that is wrong, that the concept of the man, of the human being as an individual is wrong. So I'm trying to challenge that, trying to propose alternative anthropology in order to fight against liberalism. And if liberals who are prevailing in the modern world judge me most dangerous philosopher, for me it is a pleasure.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Yes, I woke up, it's really early. I was staying woke, as it were, and I thought, you know what I'm gonna do this morning before I head off to the dreaded day job? I'm going to do a bonus show. Yes, another bonus show. How many bonuses can you handle? Well, this is another bonus show. This is a TMZ Illuminate Confirmed special. We're going to talk about a wide range of topics. We're going to talk about Kanye. I mean, why not, right? You tired of Kanye yet? We're going to talk about old Pootie over there. You know who. We're going to talk about Disney tarot cards. We're going to talk about them truckers, trucker drama, and Epstein news, the most important topic of them all, right? Epstein, the mass red pill incident of all time. Of all time, I don't know. It's a big one. It's early, sorry. I'm only one cup of coffee in, so have a heart, all right? But yeah, this is a bonus show. I'm dropping it on the supporter feeds only. My way of saying thanks. Now, what I commit to is I give you one bonus show a month on the supporter feeds. And I don't know why. I just felt like, you know what? They're getting two this month. And part of that is because when I ran that promo, I hope you got in on the promo offer of the VIP section where you got the two months for $2 each. It just made me so happy. How many people subscribed? I looked at the charts yesterday, and when I opened up the VIP section, I had this nice little linear graph, and then it kind of stabled off, which was great. Fine. I'm happy people are staying around, because originally I started it in case Patreon booted me. That was the original purpose for it. And then I made that offer, and bam! It was more than an exponential. It was a skyrocket to the moon curve. So anyway, I'm real happy about that. I appreciate you beautiful people out there for signing up. So my way of saying thanks and my gratitude, right? This is my gratitude journal, is by doing another bonus show. So let's get into it, right? Without further ado, let's talk about trucker drama. Something I didn't follow too closely, admittedly. But I think there's a psyop here, because I lump this into the Great Reset, okay? And this is no different than... Okay, do you remember back in the day? I was a Bernie bro, okay? And I know I lost half of you. Half of you rolled your eyes. Oh, you're such a sheeple, Isaac, because you like people and they're going to trick you. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I get it. I get all that. I understand the dangers of communism. I'm not pro communism. I'm definitely pro capitalism. But I think this is no different than back in the day when they were talking about raising minimum wage. Do you remember that? They're talking about forcing corporations to raise their minimum wage, and everyone lost their mind. Oh my God, you're going to make the price of everything go up, and they can't do this, and they're going to replace the workers with robots. Well, did you notice that? At McDonald's, we'll say, before they even did that, they did in fact replace workers with big virtual screens that you touched. And this is the same thing with the trucks. They're going to make it sound like, because they're protesting because of the stabs, right? They don't want to take the stabs. and the corporations who've wanted to replace those workers for a long time with robots, they do have the technology now. They can put robots behind these giant 10-ton, 40-foot trailer, massive machines cruising on the freeway right next to you doing 75 miles an hour. That's what they want. But as you could imagine, people are a little bit apprehensive about such a thing. Now, you could go over the safety data, and you could argue that, well, you know, human beings have more error than these robots. They're actually more dangerous than the robots, and there's room for that argument, right? I'm not a Luddite. I'm not a Unabomber out in the cabin in the woods saying nothing, no technology ever. But what I think they want to do is they want to replace the truckers with the robots and say, look, we got to keep things moving. And the robots, someday down the road, God forbid, hopefully I'm wrong, some horrific accident will happen. And then that corporation can look all the way back to this incident and say, yeah, but remember this? We had to do this. We had to put the robots in the driver's seat because the truckers, the humans, had beef with the stabs. But let's look at Klaus Schwab's Great Reset document, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I'm going to read to you right from it, okay? You ready? Modeling the impact of self-driving vehicles in urban environments by Boston Consulting Group in collaboration with the World Economic Forum indicates that automated transport systems could, in some scenarios, lead to lower emissions, less congestion, faster rides, fewer deaths and injuries from accidents. The rollout of new techniques within precision medicine to treat and manage non-communicable diseases could easily extend lifespans around the world by 1 to 2 years. Blase, blase, blah. It goes into different stuff. Blockchain technology can be applied for public land registration, which is kind of what you see with NFTs, enabling millions of people around the world to have formal ownership of their land. Blase, blah. But anyway, and we're going to go deeper into that when I do the Elon Musk Grimes show. That's going to be fire. We're going to do that real soon. But yeah, I think the trucker thing, while I'm sure there's some organic roots there, I'm sure they're going to, the powers that be will use that to their advantage. Because anytime they can put the blame on the consumer, it's good for them, right? If they can blame it on us, they will do that, all right? Next, there's this guy named Jean-Luc Brunel. And he was found hanged in a prison cell. Now, why should you care? Well, I'm going to read you from BBC. Jean-Luc Brunel was found hanged in his cell in La Santé prison at 0100 on Saturday, prosecutors told the BBC. The 76-year-old had been held for over a year as he was investigated on suspicion of the rape of minors and trafficking of minors for sexual exploitation. I don't know why I spelled that out. Don't ask. I'm very inconsistent into the words I say and don't say on here. Sometimes I play it by ear and think, that's a word that I'm not trying to trigger or get canceled or... Anyway, disregard that I spelled that out. Strike that from the record. Brunel had denied any wrongdoing. Brunel's lawyer said he had been crushed by the allegations and blamed a media judicial system. Oh, blaming the media, that's a good one. I haven't heard that before. Brunel co-founded French modeling agency Karen... that's what it says, Karen Models. Karen Models in 1977, and MC2 Model Management in the U.S. with funding from Jeffrey Epstein. That's right. Now, that's the BBC, right? Sometimes that BBC... It keeps it real vanilla, right? So let's go to the U.S. Sun. Something's a little more inflammatory, a little more our speed. Jeffrey Epstein's pal, Jean... they started out. Jeffrey Epstein's pal. You hate this guy. We hate this guy. Jean-Luc Brunel hanged himself in jail despite 6 prison patrols who were supposed to be looking after vulnerable inmates. Brunel, who is believed to have been a key member of Epstein's inner circle... was not on suicide watch at the time and did not have cameras in his cell. Despite this, the suspected pedo is reported to have been under near constant watch by patrols after being sectioned in the notorious prison, which is one of the toughest in France. While CCTV is commonplace in the corridors and gateways of French prisons, the vast majority of cells are not under video surveillance. This is to ensure a degree of privacy and to make sure European human rights legislation is not violated. Brunel apparently found a time window between patrols and managed to hang himself, escaping justice following accusations of trafficking and rape. Brunel's apparent suicide comes days after Prince Andrew agreed to settle a lawsuit with Virginia Roberts Giuffre, accusing him of sexual abuse after they met through Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Ugh, there's a lot going on here. But the point I'm trying to make here, much like Epstein, here's a guy who hanged himself in a cell. Now, this one doesn't appear to have as many red flags as the Epstein case. I mean, they flat out tell you there was no surveillance, whereas old Jeffrey, they had surveillance and the footage was all just glitching out and he was under strict surveillance and it was like, oh, they were taking a nap. So it doesn't seem to be quite as shady, but it's shady business, right? Why would he do it? And we're going to come back to, and it's curious because that incident was in the news for all of, I don't know, 10 seconds, and then Putin invades Ukraine. Is there a connection there? I don't know. Now, speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, let's talk about his number one buddy, Billy Gates, who, as you know, is going through a divorce with Melinda Gates, who's now being... She's the artist formerly known as Melinda. Now she's French Gates, which is her middle name technically, right? So French Gates, she said this. This is just in the news very recently, March 3rd. I did not like that he had meetings with Jeffrey Epstein. No, I made that clear to him. She was talking to Gail King. The article says French Gates shared with King before adding that she met the late perv exactly one time because she, quote, wanted to see who this man was. I regretted it the second I walked in the door. He was abhorrent. He was evil personified. My heart breaks for these women. So Bill apparently didn't have the same feelings. Bill thought, he must have thought, oh yeah, this guy's all right. Because if you recall, we did a show about this a while back, about how Bill was hanging out with Jeffrey when there was the Miss Sweden or whatever. And apparently there were... Oh boy, this is getting dicey. Allegedly, Bill was pretty impressed by the woman's daughter or something like that. I don't know. I feel like something went down that we don't know. And Melinda, a.k.a. French Gates, knows. All right. Now, speaking of elite power players, let's talk about Putin for a few minutes, all right? It looks like, and again, I don't really get into geopolitics, not my thing. These are massive topics. And if someone's going to claim to be an expert on geopolitics and the occult and health and this and that, and it goes on, I'd be a little skeptical of that, right? Just like we're skeptical of Bill Gates. This guy's an expert on everything. Come on. I just don't have the time to invest in geopolitics, right? So, self-admittedly, a lot of my perceptions are through general ways of living and general understanding of history. But I don't think I'm wrong, all right? And I've taken a lot of heat. I don't know if I've taken a fair amount of heat for being... And look, I don't know anything about Ukraine. Maybe they're scumbags too. I know someone sent me a link that the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, whatever his name is, had shut down opposition media in his country or something. I don't know. That seems shady too, right? So he might not be a good guy, but I do know I'm against any country invading some other country and killing civilians. I'm against it. I don't care what your defense is, what your justification is. It's wrong. Which is crazy that I have to make that statement. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to me. So, anyway, it's not a very popular opinion in the truther circles, in this new school trutherville, where we think Putin's a great guy, I guess, or somehow defensible. I just want to preface that. I'm not going on a tirade about it. But in the news, on March 2nd, Wednesday, March 2nd, there was a ritual started. Turns out, Putin got his own witch hex, just like Trump did. Remember when they did all the witch hexes against Trump back in like 17 to get him out of office? Lana Del Rey, who I love dearly, she was pushing it. I think Azalea Banks might have been pushing it. But on Wednesday, March 2nd, a ritual started that will repeat on every new moon until Putin's removed from power and Ukraine is free. I think it was Michael Hughes is the name of the guy who put it together, but it uses, you know, the rituals, like it uses blue and yellow candles and a certain incantation and sunflower seeds, which if you recall, there's this viral video of the Ukrainian woman giving the, and I think Ukraine's national flower is the sunflower, and she gave some Russian soldiers sunflower seeds, saying that at least when he dies, he'll grow some nice flowers or something to that effect. Now, I realize a lot of people in Trutherville here will say, well, Isaac, isn't this confirmation that Putin's on the right side of history here? Because the occult witch type folks are against him. So Putin, therefore, ipso facto, is on our team. Not so much. Hold up. Hold up. There's more to this. The release for the ritual thing that I read talks about how maybe they'll actually add a hex for Alexander Dugin, which is shocking because in all of the mainstream media sources that I've seen, which, again, I haven't dug deep into it, but I'm familiar with the whole thing. I haven't read one peep about Alexander Dugin. And if you recall, in 2020, I interviewed Professor Ben Teitelbaum, and he put together this very interesting book called War for Eternity. And the argument presented is that Steve Bannon, who was Trump's campaign manager, is buddies, quote-unquote, affiliated, part of a philosophy shared of traditionalism by René Guénon, Julius Evola, and Alexander Dugin, who's an architect of Russian policies, like buddies with Putin. In fact, the article calls Dugin Putin's worm tongue, some unsavory character from Lord of the Rings, okay? Now, I highly advise you to read War for Eternity, or at least listen to that show with Ben Teitelbaum. I think it was like June of 2020 I posted it. Because it's very scary stuff. They also believe in this like pagan mysticism occult stuff. So you've got warring pagan occult forces going on right now. And I know Putin is supposedly Russian Orthodox, but we don't give any of our leaders that same leeway. We say, oh, they're Christian, like Obama, like, yeah, he says he's Christian, but really he's a, you know, Muslim, or he's an Illuminati or whatever, right? So we'd have to apply that same logic to other world leaders. Because it is a fact that Dugin is very close to Putin. And it's a fact that Dugin subscribes to this idea of traditionalism, which it's this new world order. They want to break down the materialism that America and the Western forces have destroyed our world with and take it back to a fascist, aristocratic, strict adherence police state. And a lot of people are defending them, and I'm like, no. I, in fact, I don't want to go on a diatribe too long. let me read you from stanford.edu about Alexander Dugin's Foundations in Geopolitics. There probably has not been another book published in Russia during the post-communist period that has exerted an influence on Russian military, police, and statist foreign policy elites comparable to that of Alexander Dugin's 1997 neo-fascist treatise, Foundations of Geopolitics. The impact of this intended Eurasianist textbook on key elements among Russian elites testifies to the worrisome rise of fascist ideas and sentiments during the late Yeltsin and Putin periods. While still a teenager, he joined a secretive group of Moscow intellectuals interested in mysticism, paganism, and fascism. So again, you got the paganism and the occultism, it's just a different side of the spectrum. It's fascism on the far right instead of liberalism on the far left and communism. But as David Icke has taught us over the years, he taught the Hegelian dialect, but he talked about how this left and right paradigm is actually just a circle. And it's true. If you go too far into communism or fascism, you end up with an autocratic dictator state. Okay? Both the masters of this group and their disciples engaged in translating the works of foreign writers who shared their interest. As one of his contributions, Dugin completed a translation of a book by the Italian pagan fascist philosopher Julius Evola. There's that name again, right? On the subject of Dugin's indubitable... That's a big word. That's $1 million word. On the subject of Dugin's indubitable fascist orientation, Stephen Shenfield has written, quote, "Crucial to Dugin's politics is the classical concept of the conservative revolution that overturns the post-Enlightenment world and installs a new order in which the heroic values of the almost forgotten tradition are renewed. It is this concept that identifies Dugin unequivocally as a fascist." So, what are they saying? And this is where I think things get tangled up in the truther world. Because you know how, like, for years I say these nerds are going to kill us? And science is a real problem? And I say science is a method, not a way of life. Well, the traditionalists believe this to an extreme, right? Picture Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, running the world. Would you want that? This guy's nuts. Like, he's unhinged. It's too much. And I don't know what the answer is, because science and the technocracy is one agenda, and then fascism and traditionalism is another agenda. And look, I don't like either one. I don't think there's a crystal clear, perfect answer here. At least with the scientific technocracy, at least you have some freedoms along the way. You know what I mean? And look, I don't know. This is such a complex topic. I was hesitant to even talk about it because there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things to know. All I do know is that the mainstream sources are not really talking about Dugin. You don't hear this name pop up. So when people asked, a lot of requests came through for Isaac, do some occult breakdown of the Russia thing. What's going on? And it's become, you know, the pandemic thing became this litmus test. And it's sort of along those lines, which is crazy, right? It's crazy we can't all just agree that, hey, it's not cool to fire missiles into apartment complexes, no matter what your justification is. But that article on Stanford's a fascinating read. It goes on and it talks about Dugin's past. Get this. He founded a publishing house called Arctogaia, which is a name borrowed from Guido von Liszt, who was he was influential in the Nazi party. He influenced Hitler. He had a lot of the Aryan theosophy racist ideas, because he used that too. And the word is based on two Greek words, arctos, which means north, and gaia, which means land, referencing the original home of the Aryans. Because you always see with this, like, white supremacy alt-right thing, connections to the, you know, Vikings and Iceland and all that stuff. and I don't profess to understand all the connections here, but I do know there's a lot of weird obsession with this Aryan white master race. And later in the article, it talks about how Dugin started the National Bolshevik Party in 1993. Super communist, right? Bolsheviks. And this group was influenced by Germany, and they wanted to unify Germany and Russia against the West. And I quote, the J-E-W capitalism. So the idea back then is to unite lots of Eurasia, they called it the Eurasian movement, which is arguably what could be happening now if Russia wants to take over one country and the next to create Eurasia and go against the Western capitalism and the forces of the JEWs. Not my belief, that's what they believe. In fact, I got into big trouble because when you're in this conspiracy world, there's this pipeline. In fact, it's on the Great Awakening poster. Well, sometimes when you get into this stuff, you start thinking, you know, you look at the Protocol of the Elders of Zion, which Bill Cooper had in the book, Behold a Pale Horse, which I still have a copy of the original before they removed it from there. And it suggests that there's a plot by these types of people to rule the world. They're the architects behind the whole thing. They are the Illuminati. And look, maybe, right? I don't know. But I don't like that as a subject focus because it promotes bigotry and racism. And nothing good comes of it. In fact, I had a guy, I'm not going to say his name, although I want to because he pissed me off so bad. I was going to have a guy on my show to talk about some interesting ideas he had. But then upon further investigation, he had a lot of anti-Semite stuff. And I was like, ugh, I don't want that on my show. So I contacted him. I said, hey, bro, can you not talk about the JEWs, please, on my show? And he immediately blew up his social media with screenshots of our private emails talking about, here's another one of these Zionists, you know, well, let me talk about the thing. And I'm like, oh, look, man, you can believe that all you want. I'm just not going to be a mouthpiece for that. You know what I mean? Anyhow. But yeah, this whole article, it talks about how Dugin and Putin together embrace this idea of the Eurasian millennium, which is very much like Ben Teitelbaum's book, War for Eternity, where it talks about this weird belief they have for the New World Order of theirs. It's like a eternal white boy summer, right? It's what they want. And it talks about their fondness of secret police, because that's the problem with the right wing. You get too far down there, and you have this weird embracement of the police forces. It's like too much, right? But then on the other end of the spectrum, you get no police at all, which isn't good either, which is what you see up in, what was that thing in Portland, where they had some weird zone where it was just like run by some crazy dude. Like, you need some level in between, right? You don't need to be extreme on one or the other. It has to be in the middle. Yeah. Dugin goes on to talk about this. Dugin was in intelligence and special ops military, which you could see how Putin and him get along great because they both have those roots. And my amateur takeaway I have is that these guys seem to be embracing these police state fascisms and their justification as well. We're saving the world from Western JEW Babylonian licentiousness that America has unleashed upon our world. But if you throw your chips in with that argument, then you're basically deciding to take away your own freedoms. I don't know what the right answer is, right? You have to have a balance. Lots of people think that, you know, oh, he's doing God's work, it's justified. But that's no way to live, right? God gave us free will, and there's a reason for that. And I choose freedom. I choose, let these witches do their hexes. It's fine, whatever. You don't have to believe in it. You don't have to do it. But they're allowed to do that. But in return, I get to believe what I want to believe. much like the guy who I had a beef with, I said, don't talk about those types of people on my show. I didn't say, hey, you can't believe this. I said, you're just not going to do it on my show. You're not going to promote something that some people could hear and they're a little unstable. Like, I'm open to hearing those ideas. Don't get me wrong. My concern is some people can't handle that. And they do crazy stuff. They do some Timothy McVeigh stuff. You know what I mean? And I just can't have that. I can't have that on my conscience. It's not happening. Now, I shared on my Twitter before I deleted Twitter off my phone, by the way. It's too much stress. In 2019, Putin made it illegal in his country to talk bad about him or his government. So imagine a world where you can't critique world leaders, government, people. You can't talk bad about certain people. What would conspiracy theorists do then? Who would you talk about? That's what they're campaigning for when they support this idea. They'd all be in prison. So yes, you gotta let the witches do the witch hex. But in return, I get to talk about whoever I want to, however I want to. Now I'll conclude. I'm gonna wrap up this Russia talk. With a statement from the article. All right. As Wayne Allensworth noted, once one penetrates below the surface of Dugin's seemingly rational and scholarly language in Foundations of Geopolitics, that's that book, right, they talked about earlier, one realizes that Dugin's geopolitics are mystical and occult in nature. The shape of world civilizations and the clashing vectors of historical development being portrayed is shaped by unseen spiritual forces beyond man's comprehension. It's like David Icke said, this is the other side of the circle. It's different occult flavors. On the one, you get the occult flavor of witchcraft, paganry, woo-woo granola, hippie new age yoga in the woods. On the other, you get no one gets freedom, no one gets music, no one gets culture, police state, forced religion, no freedom of expression. Now, in Dugin's... Okay, I'll continue the reading. In Dugin's treatise, as Allensworth underscores, the author has appropriated almost wholesale the idea of Belgian geopolitician Jean Thiriart, who recognized the Russified Soviet Union as the final bastion of civilization in a Europe overrun by rootless American consumerism. It's exactly what Teitelbaum was saying. These traditionalists, the occult flavor of traditionalism, says that America and capitalist consumerism is the problem. And they want this new world order, this new world, organized world where they get the power. See, it's always a power struggle, right? Thiriart earlier had advocated the formation of a new holy alliance of the USSR and Europe aimed at constructing a Euro-Soviet empire, which would stretch from Vladivostok to Dublin. It would also need to expand to the south, since it required a port on the Indian Ocean. Is that what's happening? I have no idea. It certainly seems plausible. It's certainly a possible fantasy that's happening here. It's super concerning, though, and it's upsetting, too, you know? It's upsetting, and I don't know. Like I said before, like maybe that's my military service brainwashing coming through. When I see stuff like that, I get real patriotic, and I thank God for the beautiful freedoms this country gives us. We can talk bad about our president. Where else can you do that? Them guys out there with the Let's Go Brandon, the fuck Joe Biden stuff, God bless them. The people out there with the fuck Donald Trump, we had a guy made a song called Fuck Donald Trump. Is that not beautiful, right? That's not beautiful in the sense that it's divisive. But it's beautiful in the sense that we have those freedoms. You think Russian rappers are making fuck Putin songs? They're not. And they're not going to live to tell the story, at least, right? Nah, anyway, okay. Moving along. Oh, boy. We're going to have to reframe the show. It turned into a whole Russia spiel. Disney. Let's talk bad about Disney for a little bit. That's something we all get along with here. They made some tarot cards. That's right. Based upon the villains, we have the dark hero embracement here. Let's read you from CBN, which is like a Christian sort of website, so take that with a grain of salt, right? The new villains tarot cards featuring Disney's most famous antagonist are certain to spark controversy and concern, especially among Christians who understand biblical warnings against these tools that are all too often inappropriately and inaccurately paraded as mere parlor games. The card set wasn't officially launched directly by Disney, though the company reportedly licensed images of some of its most famous villains to be used in the deck, and now the cards are making their way onto gift lists. And we find out that there's this company called Inside Editions, and they licensed the images through Disney. And as you could imagine, Disney's a little bit tight on who they let use their imagery. So isn't that fascinating that they're going to allow this to happen on tarot cards? And in fact, I was watching on Hulu the Pam and Tommy show, which I love. Love Motley Crue. They're total scumbags. I read their book, and I hated them after I read it, The Dirt, which is a great book. Neil Strauss is the man. You can pick up almost any Neil Strauss book and be sucked into it. It's so good. But The Dirt, because I was obsessed with Motley Crue, right? And I read it, and I remember thinking, like, oh, these guys were like my heroes. I hate them now. Like, they're scumbags. Not all of them. I felt bad for Mick Mars. He seemed like a nice guy, but he's dealing with his stuff. But, and I'm sure they're real fun to be around. I'm sure they're funny, fun guys when they're in a good mood. But the part that bothered me most was Vince Neil. With that DUI incident where he killed somebody and almost unfazed, just trying to get out of it, which I get, right? But I don't know, just had a dirty feel to it, and it made me kind of cringy against Motley Crue. But anyway, the Pam and Tommy show is great. I don't know how they found those two actors to play the Pam and Tommy, but those guys knock it out of the park. They look like them, they act like them, they sound like them. It's amazing. And oh no, anyways, one of the characters, Seth Rogen, plays the guy who's a maintenance carpenter. And he's really into the occult. The first episode, you can see him talking about all these books he's got about the occult. And in episode like 6, I think, he's playing with some tarot cards, which I found interesting. Anyways, Disney, right? Why do we care? Why do we care? I mean, maybe we don't care. We just point it out. But the beef, it comes from the Bible, which forbids divination of any kind, all right? And to be fair, it has beef with beef. It's shellfish, too. You know, all these things are problematic in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, no freedoms to be found. Leviticus 19:31 says, "Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God." So, Old Testament God, no sense of humor for any of this stuff. Disney, lots of sense of humor. So, what do you think? Disney, bringing the occult to your front step. Finally, wrapping it up, Kanye West. Told you I was going to focus a lot on him. In fact, I got to watch parts 2 and 3 of Genius on Netflix. I watched part 1. I'm looking for the occult symbolism. I haven't seen it yet. But I made a post on my Instagram. Check it out. He released the video for his song Easy with The Game. It's a good enough song, right? Meanwhile, Kim Kardashian's officially single. Yeah, he's mad. He's very mad. And you can I do the whole analysis on my Instagram through a sequence of images from the music video. And it starts out with the church on fire, which is how his Donda 2 concert went. Donda, excuse me. And yes, I know people are like, no, that's Donda's house. That's his mother's house. Really? Well, his mother's house has a cross on the front. That's a church. Because in real life, the real Donda's house doesn't have a cross on it. All right? That's a church. So he lights the church on fire. Again, supporting this weird idea that Kanye is embracing the dark side, the shadow. Then it starts with a casket and the game comes out of a casket. This is the Skull and Bones initiation ritual. Because my argument is that Kanye is going through initiation ritual of embracing the dark side, alchemical, blackening the Grado, Saturnian ideas. And this shows the rebirth. Then it shows him killing Pete Davidson. Basically, he kidnaps him and kills him. Which I made the comment, I'm like, super mature, bro. Get over it. Because you're acting like a boy in high school when someone stole your girlfriend. Like, grow up, dude. Or at least don't bring us into it. That's just my personal opinion, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. I'd be upset too. But it's just not a good look, man. Like, if nothing else, if you want to save face and look like a tough guy, just act like it doesn't bother you at the bare minimum. But then in the song, he says, I know Illuminati mad. And he basically references that he created the Numinati. Like, he's got a new Illuminati, right? Like, he's starting his own occult thing. And at the end of the video, you see the all-seeing eye. He's embracing the occult philosophies. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. He's threatening Pete Davidson with his new Numinati, the new occult gang of Rebirth, apparently. And as I mentioned on the post, look, I like Ye's music. I like Pete Davidson's humor. I think he's a funny dude. Both of them could be the nicest people on the planet. Both of them could be the biggest scumbags you've ever met. No idea. Never met either one. I like them both, though, in general. But it seems like a pretty dangerous publicity stunt. Now, officially, Pete Davidson said he thinks this whole thing is funny. But, I mean, it's funny until you get some crazy Kanye fan at your front door, right? Seems like a pretty dangerous publicity stunt, if that's what they're doing. And I got to address a comment I made. I said, I said, Kanye should start acting like a Christian man instead of whatever the heck this crap is. He's acting like a child. He's pushing occult symbolism. And I'm always the guy that says, look, I'm a bad Christian. Don't look to me. Because I am. I'm a degenerate by every Christian standard. It's true. But here's the thing. Kanye had a whole church, a whole nonprofit church that I'm sure he was funneling a lot of money into so he could not pay taxes. You think it's a coincidence that he was buddied up with all these conservative people? He learned how to dodge taxes, which again, like no judgments, like whatever, man. That's the rules. That's the laws. Follow the laws. I don't care. Do what you do, man. I just think it's in poor taste to flex and promote yourself as this big Christian and this mouthpiece for Christianity, and then you go and do all these things that seem very much against that. That's all I'm saying. That's my whole thing. That's all I'm saying. That's why I rarely talk about being Christian, because I don't want people to look at me to be a role model or mouthpiece for Christianity. Nope, not me. That ain't me. I struggle worse than you'd probably do. You know what I mean? I judge my neighbor. I'm judging Kanye West. I judge people all day long. It's a real problem. I got to get into confession. What am I doing? I need to get back into church. Cleanse myself. But yeah, that's the latest TMZ Illuminate confirm. I'm going to keep an eye on all these players. And I'm sure we'll hit another TMZ Illuminate confirm in April. But yeah, this is a bonus show for the supporters only, because I appreciate you all. You know, the world's been a kind of dark, negative place the last couple years, and I'd like to hope we're making a turn, especially in this time of spring and rebirth, become a more positive place. And especially in the truther world, it's been very dark and bleak lately. And I want to try to bring positivity towards it, and it's really difficult with some of these subjects to be positive about it. But you know, it's, you know, you want to, you know, maybe read some good self-help books. I'm reading Mastery of Love. I'm almost done with it. It's a really great book. Try to not let a lot of the stuff stick and come home with you. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, thank you for being a supporter. I appreciate it. You guys are what make this show happen. If it wasn't for the supporter feeds for Patreon and my VIP section, this thing wouldn't exist. Rockfin, shout out Rockfin gang. This whole podcast wouldn't exist. So I appreciate you and your support. Thank you so much. Until next time, stay woke.